Good morning. My privilege to be able to share with you guys this morning in Pastor Steve's absence. Had an experience this weekend I want to share with you about as we get started in our time together. I went to the Father-Son retreat this weekend, and some of you in here went as well, and it was a great time. I got to take my 7-year-old son, Caleb. For those of you that don't know, I have a beautiful wife, Melody, and 3 kids. Caleb's 7, Colin's 4, and Chloe is almost 6 months. But Caleb got to go with me this weekend, and he wanted to do everything. He wanted to do everything that there was to do. He wanted to hike. He wanted to fish. He wanted to shoot a BB gun. He wanted to shoot a bow and arrow. Some of those things he had never done before. There's one thing he wanted to do. He wanted to do the zip line. And I've done zip lines before, but I just thought, I don't know that he's really going to want to do that. I mean, that's a big deal, right? And so he said Friday night, Dad, I want to do the zip line, and it was open on Saturday. So I said, okay, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. And thinking that ain't happening. I had my doubts. I doubted that this was that he was really serious about wanting to do this, and doubted whether or not I should let him do this, and seriously doubted whether or not my wife wanted him to do this, but she wasn't there. So on Saturday, he said again, Dad, I want to do the zip line. And I just said, okay, Caleb, if you're sure you want to do this, he said, I want to do it. And so I doubted. I thought, he's going to change his mind. And sure enough, we get out there to where the place is, and we put these harnesses on, and about 15 feet up in the air, there's a kid that is hanging on for dear life onto the ladder. Please, get me down. I don't want to do this. Daddy, daddy. And I'm thinking, I felt bad for him. And I'm thinking, okay, so Caleb, there you go. I'm thinking he's not going to want to do this. And so this crime went on for about the next 10 minutes. And I thought, is anybody going to help that kid get him down? And eventually they did. And I thought, okay, well, maybe Caleb is going to change his mind. Again, I love zip lines, but I just thought, he's never done this before. He's 7, you know, and just a little nervous. And so he said, yeah, I want to do it. Let's do it, Dad. And so, okay, we're climbing up this ladder, and I'm climbing up a ladder parallel to him, 40 feet up in the air. And I'm telling him, just don't look down. Don't look down. And again, I'm thinking, he's going to get about halfway up, and he's not going to want to do this. Again, not that I didn't want him to do it, but just wasn't sure, you know, being a dad, being a little cautious and careful. And so we're climbing up, we get up there, and some people had just gone off, and so the whole thing wobbles and shakes, and no matter how many times you do a zip line, it's like when you get up to the top, you're seeing the view, but you're kind of like, oh, this is a great view, but okay. And so I'm thinking, I don't know how we're going to do this. I'm ready to talk through him again. I know he's a brave kid, but I just had my doubts. I wasn't sure what was going to happen here. And so we're told to sit down and to wait. And the attendant there says, okay, so you're going to sit right on the edge, let your feet dangle, and then just lean forward and fall. Okay, lean forward and fall. And in my mind, I'm thinking, my wife is going to kill me for this. But okay, I'm thinking, okay, as a dad, I'm going to get ready to encourage my son, because again, I doubt that he's going to really be ready to do this. And so I turned to him and I said, Caleb, and he had already gone down. he just went, and I said, okay. And so I fell off too and followed him. And we had an amazing experience getting to zip line together over these trees over out by Highland Lakes. And it was just beautiful. And I was just so proud of him. He was so brave. So courageous to do that. And I don't know why I doubted. I don't know why I questioned that he would do a great job with it. But, you know, it's funny because we doubt. That is just a part of who we are. Many of us, we have a hard time taking things at face value. We question things. We wonder. We worry. That's part of our human nature. In fact, I want to play a little word association game with you. If we're talking about the disciples, And, you know, last week we celebrated Easter, and we talked about the Easter story and Jesus appearing to the women first and then to the disciples. But I could probably give you a disciple's name, and you could give me a word or a phrase that describes them. So if I were to say to you, Peter, what's the word that you think of? Rock. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Denier or rock. Rock, denier. Those are great. What about Judas? Betrayer. Okay. All right. What if I said to you, John? Beloved. Yeah, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, if I were to say to you, Thomas,
doubter,
okay, all right. So this is Thomas, the Thomas that we know, the Thomas that if we've grown up in church and you've heard about Thomas, or even if you haven't grown up in church, you've heard the phrase doubting Thomas because of the fact that he had to have proof for himself. But this morning, I think you're going to see maybe something you haven't seen before. I think you're going to get to see a side of Thomas that maybe you just had completely overlooked. I know I had. And as Pastor Steve and I were talking about where to go with today and just some ideas, and he allows us to have our own freedom and creativity, but I just asked him, I said, you want me to continue in the series? You want me to do something different? And he shared with me the fact that the Sunday after Easter, all around the world, especially in, towards the East, they celebrate what's known as Thomas Sunday or Renewal Sunday. And I never knew this, but especially in Eastern Orthodox churches, they celebrate the life of Thomas. And when I first heard that, I thought, that's strange. You're celebrating this guy that doubted Jesus, but okay. And as I began to learn more about it and begin to read more about it, I began to discover that what is celebrated is not so much the fact that he was a doubter, but what he did with that doubt. And we're going to look at that some this morning. But I think we need to, first of all, ask the question, did doubting Thomas really deserve his name? And was he really a doubter? Again, I want to give you some evidence this morning. This isn't so much to be a history lesson, but this is going to help move us forward in how we deal with this whole issue of doubt. So first passage I want to share with you this morning is in John chapter 11, starting in verse 6. I want to share this with you. And John's gospel is the only gospel that makes mention of Thomas outside of the, as the other disciples give the list of disciples. Now, Thomas made it in those other books, but they didn't really say much about who Thomas was. But John's gospel does. And John's gospel gives us some incredible backstory to know who this Thomas really was. So in John chapter 11, we'll have the verses on the screen, and you can also follow along in your YouVersion app. But John says this. So when he heard, talking about Jesus, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. I love this. The disciples replied, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better, right? Let's just let him sleep. Jesus had been speaking of his death, and his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Now here we get to Thomas. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, which is a Greek word for twin. He was a twin brother of someone. We're not sure who that was. But Thomas says to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Wow. This guy that we thought was the doubter, he's the first one to speak up and say, okay, Jesus, you know that, and the disciples said, you know that if you go back to Judea, they'll probably kill you. And Thomas is the first one that says, let's do this. Let's go. If this is what's going to happen, if this is the risk, then so be it. Let's do this. To me, that doesn't sound like the faith of a timid man. It sounds like someone who is very brave. Jesus faced possible death, but Thomas led the other disciples in saying, we can go. He was willing to follow even if it meant death, and he was the only one. puts into to scope what Jesus taught them when Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Thomas was determined to be faithful. Thomas was loyal to Jesus even in the face of death. He loved the Lord more than his own life. He would rather die with him than die without him. He was loyal, loved Jesus. But Thomas also had an inquiring spirit. And I want us to move forward a couple of chapters, still in the book of John. But I want you to see this inquiring spirit that kind of gets us a little bit closer to the man that we all think we know. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Now here's Thomas again. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And what's amazing is Jesus responds to him and says, "Thomas, let me help you understand. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." So here we have one of the most known statements of Christianity, which came about because someone stood up and said, "Lord, help us understand. Lord, help me to know what you're talking about." And he was just being honest. If Christ was going away, then Thomas wanted to go with him. Again, Thomas is showing his loyalty. "Lord, how can we know the way? I want to be with you. I don't know how to follow, but I want to know. Help me to know how." So as we study these passages, we see a man who is loyal. We see a man who is brave. We see a man who has questions, but he wants to be with Jesus. He sincerely wants to know. So now we move to the passage today that we're more familiar with. It talks about Thomas. Before we get to that, though, I want to give you a clip of what it could have been like, just a kind of a mental picture. On Good Friday, we showed some scenes from the movie The Son of God, and there's a scene towards the end that shows there's a little bit of inaccuracy that we'll talk about afterwards, but I want you to see this, just the purity of the moment, and see what it could have been like for Thomas and the other disciples as Jesus reappears to them.
"A cup. I need a cup and some wine."
"What happened?"
"His body. His blood. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No, this isn't real. Thomas, stop doubting. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed."
So there we see Jesus reappearing to the disciples. Now in John 20, I want us to get a little bit more of this picture because it's Hollywood, you know, they've got to take some liberties there. But let's look at how this played out and what happened. On the evening, this is John 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. The Father has sent me. I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So basically what we're seeing here is that now there's 10 disciples that are there at that scene. Judas had, the betrayer, had taken his life. And so Thomas, I don't know where Thomas was, but he wasn't there. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine these 10 other men saying, "We saw Jesus. We heard from him. We touched him. We saw him." And Thomas missed out. Can you imagine missing out on that moment? Well, Thomas is questioning. And Thomas says, unless I'm able to see him and touch the marks in his hand. He said, I just can't put my head around it. I can't wrap my mind around it. And Jesus appears, and Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Then he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas says to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So here we have our doubting Thomas. And it's interesting that we forget that the other disciples doubted Jesus too, right? When the women had come from the tomb and shared this with the disciples, they didn't believe it. In fact, Peter and John had to go see for themselves. But yet we don't question them. We don't look at them and say, well, they were doubters too. Thomas is the one that gets the bad rap because Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas had missed out on this. He didn't get to see Jesus, but then Jesus makes himself known to him. And I'm sure in that moment, Thomas felt awful for the fact that it wasn't so much that he was questioning Jesus, but he was questioning what these men were saying. Did they really see Jesus? Did this really happen? How could this have happened? And now Jesus is gracious enough to appear to Thomas. And Thomas is changed by it. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But I want us to share this morning what we can relate to in Thomas's life. Because Thomas wanted to know, because Thomas was an inquirer, because Thomas was a doubter. And we can identify, can't we? We have doubts and questions. We want to know something for ourselves. And our faith can become greater when we investigate and believe. And history is filled with examples of men and women who have set out to prove that Christianity is false and that Jesus was a fraud. But they end up having a changing encounter with Christ. There's a movie out right now called The Case of Christ that's all about that. An investigative reporter, Lee Strobel, who set out to disprove the claims about Christ. Or Josh McDowell, who was a former atheist, and he also didn't believe in Christ. And the more he began to research as he set out to disprove Christianity, he's overwhelmed by the amount of evidence that shows that Jesus was who he said he was. And he's written this so many different books, but this one huge book that has meant a lot to me, it's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And there's so many resources out there that we can look at to help learn some of these things. If we'll just take the time to say, okay, God, I don't know everything, I don't understand everything, but in my doubts, I want to come to know more about you. So as believers today, how can we deal with doubts? If it's something that we all struggle with, we all maybe have a little bit of question, how can we deal with doubt? I think it's important, first of all, to understand where our doubts come from, to understand the roots of our doubts. And some typical reasons we doubt are, first of all, maybe God doesn't meet our expectations. Maybe you're in here this morning and you can totally understand that because maybe you expected God to do something, or maybe you're still waiting on God to do something in your life and God hasn't met your expectations. And because God hasn't answered on your timetable and in the way you want, it's begun to raise questions or doubts or fears in your mind. Maybe you don't see positive results from following Jesus Christ. You think, hey, if I'm supposed to be following Jesus, then everything should be good, right? Everything should be a little bit easier because I've got God working for me. But what we fail to realize is that if we go back to God's word, we see, we're told, this verse we read earlier in Mark 9, that we're going to have to expect that when we follow Jesus, we'll have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We're not promised an easy life. In fact, as a follower of Christ, that's almost a sure thing that it's not going to happen. It's not going to be easy. We see examples all over the world in the news right now of believers who are being persecuted for their faith and dying for their faith. And so we may not have a completely accurate view of Scripture in remembering that God's word tells us that this is a reality. This is part of following Christ. Or maybe we focus on our problems rather than his power. Our problems seem so much bigger. God, there's just no way that you can ever change the situation. There's no way that this will ever get better. And so because of that, our problems become so big that our doubts become big with it. And we refuse to remember that our God is bigger than anything we could face. And so doubts can come from that as well. They can also tend to come when we listen to the wrong voices. If you're not in God's word, seeking the truth of God's word, and you're listening to what culture tells you about God, or you're listening to or watching things that go against God, then God's voice seems to become dimmer and dimmer. God's influence seems to be less and less because we listen to the wrong voices. We listen to people rather than to God's word. And that's a problem. That's a problem for many of us as believers because we hear so much from the culture that it's very hard to hear from God. And so doubts creep up. Doubts are a part of that. So I want to talk about three types of doubts very quickly. First of all, would be intellectual. Intellectual doubt, that tends to come from outside the church. Maybe some of you have experienced a professor in college or a professor or teacher in high school who caused you to question your faith. They began to teach you about natural selection or evolution, and the more you heard about that, the more you began to doubt the fact that we were lovingly created by a God who's made us, who knows us. So intellectual questions such as, is the Bible the word of God? Is Jesus the Son of God? Did he really rise from the dead? And so when we don't know the full story, doubts may come, and those may be intellectual doubts. Or maybe you have spiritual doubts. Am I really a Christian? Why is it so hard to pray? Why is it taking so long to get better? Or maybe circumstantial. Why is this happening to me? Why is my child sick? Why did my marriage break up? Why is it taking so long to find a husband or find a wife? God, why? If you're not answering my prayers like I want you to, then are you even there? Are you even hearing me? And so these doubts creep in and they become so real and can become so loud. But this morning I want to challenge us to do something with those doubts. I want to challenge us to choose to let doubts work for us rather than against us. Choose to let doubts work for you rather than against you. Doubts are not a bad thing. In fact, doubts can lead to an even greater dedication to Christ. Again, if you look in Scripture, and you see examples like Job and see that Job questioned God and Job had doubts. Why was all of this happening to him? And God could deal with those doubts. God listened to Job and God answered Job. Thomas, we've talked about Thomas this morning, but I want you to understand that once Thomas had this life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ, Thomas went from there. We hear about him one more time in the book of Acts. He was there at Pentecost. And then from there, he traveled east. We know from history that he traveled into Persia, which is now modern-day Iran. He also traveled into India, and there are many churches there that trace their heritage back to Thomas. And Thomas, this man who at one time had questioned God, remember, this is also the same man who said, I will die for you, Jesus. And that's exactly what happened. Thomas was killed by a spear, dying for this Lord that he loved. So our doubt is not necessarily sinful or wrong, but how we deal with it can be. If we will come to Jesus with our doubts and say, I don't fully understand, God, I don't know all this, but I know, God, that you are good, and I just come to you in faith and ask, God, would you help me? Then God will listen to us. God will answer our prayers. I know that believing doesn't come easy for some of us. In fact, I want to share with you a passage in John 6, 28 through 29, where Jesus says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. Now, the Greek word that's used there for work means to toil or to labor or to work. So again, hearing those words, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. To have faith sometimes takes work. To believe takes work. But we'll be rewarded. And Jesus tells us that we need to have faith and know that he is there, he is present. He may not answer our prayers the way we want them to or when we want them to be answered, but he's real. He's powerful. And so some of us, faith comes easier than it does for other people. Maybe you're one in here and you question everything, and you have a lot of this doubt and a lot of these questions. For some of you, maybe you've just grown up your life, just you believe. You've been taught to believe, and you just do. But I would say a lot of us are probably there in the middle. We don't walk in blind faith, but we also aren't huge skeptics. But many of you may be. Wherever you are this morning, I want you to know that God knows where you are, and God knows how to get through to you. A few things I want to share in dealing with doubt. Because the greatest doubters can often become the strongest believers. So I want to share some points with you. Again, these are there in the app, or you can write these down. How do we deal with doubt? We'll go through these quickly just for time's sake. First of all, admit your doubts and ask for help. God's big enough for him to come to him with our questions. He's not going to be surprised. He's not going to have to think, oh, man, how do I answer that? We admit our doubts and we come to him honestly and say, God, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. There's a story in Mark 9 where a man who had a boy who was possessed by spirits came to Jesus, and Jesus said, anything's possible for those who believe. And he said, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You believe, but you need for God to help you in your unbelief. So you admit doubts and you ask for help. You go and you find, maybe go find some counsel. Go talk to a pastor or one of our staff members or a counselor or someone that you trust and just say, I'm really struggling. Can you help me? Help me to understand. Help me to know. Secondly, don't be afraid to borrow some faith. And what I mean by that is if you feel like you have no more faith, then look to people who are following and look at their testimony, their example, and be encouraged by that and say, okay, they can do it, and so can I. You borrow some faith. Thirdly, act on faith and not doubts. We can tend to operate so much based on feelings, and we think if we don't feel something, then it must not be real. And we're not told to live by feelings. We're told to live by faith. So we act on our faith and not our doubts. There are days where you may be so deep in doubt that you don't know how you can go on. My challenge to you is just to keep walking, to move, to get up, put one foot in front of the other, and walk in faith, knowing that it may not all make sense now, but God has not taken you from this planet yet. He has a purpose for you to be here. So you walk. Fourth, you dig deeper to find some answers. You take these resources that we've talked about a little bit this morning from these skeptics who have sought out to prove that Christianity is false and had their lives changed, and you begin to study and you begin to go to God's word and say, okay, I don't understand, but I want to understand, and I want to know more about this. And you find some resources that will help you to find some answers. And then lastly, you keep going back to what you know to be true. You may not have all the answers to your questions, but what do you know? You know God is good. You know that the Bible is true. You know that Jesus is Lord. You know that life is short. You know that this world is not your home. You know that God is God and you are not. That he is sovereign, that you can trust him completely even when your world is spinning out of control. Like, well, how can I know that? How can I know that for sure? There are so many people, even here in this church, that can just help you and share with you their testimony of how they dealt with doubt. Maybe you're young in the faith, maybe you're older in the faith, and you were trucking along great, and something happened in your life where something happened to a family member, something happened to you, and it rocked you to your core. You can know that the God who made heaven and earth, the God who revealed himself to Thomas, is the same God who wants to reveal himself to you. Even though he may not give you all the answers, he may not lay it all out for you, but he says, let me help you. Let me walk with you. Actually, let me carry you through this time. Trust me. Just keep walking. Just keep moving. The last thing that Jesus said to Thomas, he said, blessed are those who have believed and not seen. And that's us. We haven't gotten the privilege of getting to see the physical Jesus. And so we live by faith. There's a challenge for us today that I want to close with. And this is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And Peter is speaking to the early church, and they're going through a lot in ways, in terms of tribulation and persecution. And Peter says this, "In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Listen to this. "Though you have not seen him, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We haven't seen him, but we love him. We haven't physically gotten to put our hands into his side or into the nail holes. But we trust him because we know that he is a good God. We know that his word is true. This morning, maybe you're somewhere in between, or maybe you're complete on the opposite. You just say, I'm about ready to be done with this thing. I'm about ready to walk away because I've got so many doubts and I don't feel like anything is going my way. And rather than run to God with those doubts, you're tempted to run from God. My challenge to you this morning is, don't do it. Don't fall for that lie. Choose to walk in faith. Choose to find other people who can surround you and say, let me help you. Let me pray with you. Not to give you pat answers, because some of you are going through some incredible things right now. I was talking with a man in our first service who's just continuing to go through incredible challenges with his family, but he still continues to walk and to move in faith. What an incredible example. And there are so many in this church that we can lean on and cling to. Don't walk away from the only one who can take away your doubts. You may not have all your questions answered, but Jesus is good. And he will offer to carry you, and he will help you in time to work through those doubts. Maybe there's a circumstance in your life that's caused you to you've been jaded by it. You still wonder, God, why? Why have you done this? Why haven't you done this? Lord, when? When will you move? My challenge to you is keep walking. Keep walking in faith. Keep going with what you know. Keep trusting in our rock, in our God. I want to ask if you would bow your heads with me this morning. And I want to ask you a question as we wrap up our time together today. Where are you in this situation?